By their fruits you shall know them. You have your fruit unto sanctification. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning we have the wolves in sheep's clothing gospel. It is a text which is tempting to a preacher each year. I generally resist. More so is it tempting this morning when many Catholics are wondering whether the Pius X Society will join the wolf pack, as they've been working on for a while, that modern church under the very wolf whom they hold to be at the same time the chief shepherd of the sheep, Ratzinger. And for this, their group has had its share of divisions of late. There's lots of fighting at the moment amongst the traditional Catholics in Mexico, not over doctrine. They are almost all of them, the vast majority, strong sede vacantes. But I mean, there are accusations and open letters. You know the drill. Father Ciordia maintains his distance from this, though he too has suffered his share over the years. Every year I visit him, at some point Father will tell me again of the three promises he made when he was ordained a priest. Number one, no politics. Number two, no writing. And number three, always to be the simple Mexican that he is. Besides, he's busy enough taking care of his parish and the poor, especially the poor souls who come to him for help, or the sick for a blessing and relief, or the possessed. So he takes things in a very simple way, and his take on controversy is scripture. By their fruits shall you know them. Stick around, survive long enough, and you will know them by their fruits. And this is wisdom of a kind, though it's not the greatest, yet more wisdom is promised you. A Protestant preacher, a Pentecostal, and their whole purpose is simply to stir up fervor to an emotional pitch in each one of their services, once was approached by one of his congregation with a complaint after a service. "Brother David," he said, "people just don't seem thirsty for the Lord these days." Without missing a beat, the minister replied, "It's not that they're not thirsty enough, it's that we are not salty enough. You are the salt of the earth," our Lord says. And this is the gospel which over the course of the year is read more frequently than any other. We had it just yesterday for Saint Bonaventure. "And you had your salt yesterday, but were you salt?" Not salty, but salt, or just bland, tasteless at best, or maybe bitter. "You had your salt yesterday." Who could avoid it? Even if you're on a low-sodium diet, it's basic food. The body needs its salt, and if you have enough of it, it makes you thirsty. If we were the salt of the earth, we would be thirsty, and others around us would be thirsty for the Lord and for his glory. Or at the very least, out of love, we would thirst to slake his thirst, his sitio, the cry from the cross on Good Friday, "I thirst." Or perhaps we would remember that poor soul who came all the way back from purgatory to tell his family, Tengo sed, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty for love. St. Catherine of Siena, a fiery mystic, a great saint of thirst, the precious blood and for souls, but also a very down-to-earth nurse of the sick and an outspoken church reformer, she had this to say about our Lord's thirst. It is as if Christ said, she said once, I thirst and I desire your salvation more than the punishment of physical thirst is able to show. For the thirst of the body is limited, whereas the thirst of holy desire is unlimited. It leads, this thirst does, to fruit, the fruit whereby you are meant to be known. The fruit, St. Paul says today, unto sanctification. You have to keep up, though, your spiritual sodium levels if you are going to be worth your salt in the kingdom. There's a kind of a salt revisionism that's in the air these days. They say, no, as a matter of fact, salt isn't bad for you. You need it. You just need the right kind and not the bad kind. Well, of course, salt is used for all kinds of purposes, external, industrial ones. I mean, salt, of course, preserves. In the old days, it was used to preserve meats. It still is today. But it also preserves people from falling on the ice, and it makes ice to melt with a little bit of sun. I looked it up, and it seems there are over 14,000 different uses for industrial salt, curing hides and manufacturing plastics and dyes and explosives and chlorine gas and cosmetics. I wonder if they're connected. And that's just a few of the many, many uses of industrial salt. But they say you don't want to have that in your body yourself. You want the good salt that's natural and has the minerals still attached to it. The salt from the sea. The French are fussy about that. And they harvest the sea salt on the shores of Brittany. And they sing its praises. And they have the salt all classified. There's what's called gray salt. And then I think the very best, the top level of the gray salt is called fleur du sel, the flower of the salt. And they sell it in roadside stands as we would sell vegetables or fruit at this time of the year in Brittany. Salt, the spiritual kind, leads to fruit. It makes us thirsty to prove our love, even as it goes with fruit, like salt on melon. A food itself, salt also brings out the flavor of all kinds of good food. Receive the salt of wisdom, akshipe, salt sapientiae. Father told you as a baby or an adult convert, as he popped a few blessed and exercised grains of salt into your mouth before you got baptized. Why? Because salt stands for wisdom, that greatest of the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost, which gives us a kind of an instinctive taste for the things that are of God. We just know. That's what wisdom does for us. And it makes us to see God everywhere. And it produces in the soul a kind of a complete certainty as well as a hope. Wisdom is also connected with one of the other three great virtues, and that is charity. Whereas charity, remember the soul said, I thirst for love. Charity is perfected by wisdom. Charity needs salt to preserve it from corruption and to bring out its flavor so it won't go bad, making that love in your little heart more perfect and leading to what? Well, eventually to life eternal, but in the meantime, to death, to daily death to self, which is the price of doing business for Christians. But you need salt. You need this wisdom to permeate. You have to be cured in salt, soaked and sunk in a barrel of it, in order to make your Christian life work. For your neighbor, starts, of course, in the family circle, and it certainly should extend to everyone in the church, your fellow Catholics. Here, charity reaches its highest grade. Here's the fleur du sel, if you will. Through the actions of the gift of wisdom, the saints didn't merely see or serve God in other people. They contemplated God in a special way in their neighbor. St. John Eudes, and he wasn't the only one, used to say, he's a great saint of the Immaculate Heart and Sacred Heart devotion, he used to say, sometimes, you know, you have to leave God in the tabernacle to serve him someplace else in your neighbor. This is what inspires their heroic self-sacrifice, and they do it in all simplicity, quite naturally. They're happy to do without, for example, saints are, in order to help others. Saints, think maybe of some priest or religious who dies an early death because his life has been consumed for others. But he dies happy, and he lived happy. Not as we might be, pinched and resisting and resentful, but happy. Think of that soldier saint shivering in the winter wind outside of Amiens. Martin of Tours, he'd given half a warm cloak to a cold beggar. Or saints, think of any poor mother who sees that her children are fed first before herself. Or some tired father who sits up with his sick child at night, though he's got work in the morning. You get some rest, he tells his wife. I'll stay up tonight. This is what St. Francis de Sales calls the exaltation of works. Love, charity in action. You see it in missionaries. You see it in saints. And maybe you see it in some well-salted souls of your acquaintance, right around you. The slow martyrdom of a life which is drained out for others, grain by grain, all athirst for his thirst. But to slake it, drop by drop, and not dramatically. You wouldn't even notice it, except maybe to criticize it a little. This is salt at work, melting icy hearts here, bringing out some hidden flavor over there in some person you never thought would have had it in him, and then preserving others from corruption or slipping and sliding in some icy patch of temptation. All this fruit, and remember, by their fruits shall you know them, is served up with salt and never without it. How's your sodium level today? Are we salty enough. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.